Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for another day. Lord, the grace you've given us to meet week by week, year by year, to study your word, to grow, to change. What a grace you've given us. Lord, right now we do ask that you turn our eyes to you. Help us to see you, to hear your word this morning, and to rejoice in who you are, and to learn and shape our minds. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. The human eye is one of the most fabulous things that you can consider. It has even drawn people to faith in the Lord our God. And I say that, no joke. People have a hard time understanding how the human eye could work as a matter of chance. When you dig into the complexities of the human eye and what it does, it's mind-blowing. It's unfathomable to think that from disorder and disarray and from goo 50 million years ago that the human eye could function. Did you know that you see things upside down and that your brain transposes it to right side up? Many interesting things about an eye. The typical eye blink can last about 100 to 150 milliseconds. So somehow your body is able to move a part of your body up and down in 150 milliseconds. Pretty fascinating for random chance, isn't it? The human eye can function at 100% throughout your entire life without needing a break. I was doing pull-ups last night, and I needed a break, I could tell you. My biceps can't do that. Or chin-ups, actually. The human eye does not need a break. If the human eye were a digital camera, my trusty iPhone has 12 megapixels. The human eye has 576 megapixels. And on average, you will blink 4,200,000 times in your life. But not only that, the human eye is a lens by which we perceive all around us. And most people use their eyes more than any other sense. The human eye does not see anything. It's merely a lens by which to show your brain what's out there. Perception comes through these eyeballs in your face. And your brain understands what's true because of the lenses that are before you. So is our worldview. The truth is out there. And how we understand what is real to be real is shaped by what we understand the truth to be, by how we perceive something that happens. If you have your Bible, I'd like for you to open up to John chapter 18. We're going to finish what we started last week. Your eyes are fascinating. Your worldview, I will argue, is more important than your eyes. Your worldview is the lens by which you understand everything that happens. Your worldview is the lens by which you understand everything that happened. We're going to talk about worldview today and why that's important to you as a Christian. John chapter 18, beginning in verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king." Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to what? To the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate answered him and said, "What is truth?" Last week we looked at the idea that Jesus came into the world to be a witness of the truth, to bear truth to us. He came into the world to reveal things that are true. And by the way, by our worldview, we understand as Christians that Jesus was the Son of God teaching the truth. If you are a non-believer this morning, your worldview tells you that Jesus was a person who came and spoke things that were not true. As a Christian, we understand that Jesus came to bear witness of the truth. Let me give you another illustration of what worldview does for us as we're talking about this. I said it's the lens by which we perceive things. The same action can mean different things to different people. For instance, if you are an archaeologist and you are digging in Colorado and you find a bone in the midst of several layers of dirt and earth, if you're a non-believer, your worldview says, oh, well, I grew up watching Discovery Channel, and they told me that 50 billion years ago, that dinosaurs were here, and they ruled the earth, and this must be a bone from that dinosaur 50 billion years ago. That dinosaur evolved out of something. If you have a biblical worldview, you understand that that bone is from an animal that God created, and that that animal roamed the earth and was either covered by a flood or was unsustainable and went extinct for some reason. You finding the same bone as a believer, understand this is a creation of God, and we're treasuring it because we know God made dinosaurs. You are an evolutionist, you understand it to be that this was a random act of chance, and I just happened to find something that was here long, long, long ago, because time is the only thing that can allow all these changes to happen. Your worldview allows you to see what is the truth. So what is the truth? And in our culture and day and age, we get to the question to say, well, truth for this guy is that God created it. And truth for this guy is that that animal evolved. And we get to multiple versions of the truth. But I ask you, congregation, are there more than one versions? Is there more than one version of the truth?
No.
The truth is the truth. And it is mutually exclusive unto itself. What is true is true. Facts are facts. Today we will look at this truth, the second half of verse 37, which is, if you go to verse 37, Miss Stacy, for this purpose I was born, for this purpose I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. The second part is this: everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. So we're going to focus in on that this morning. Everyone who's of the truth listens to my voice. In my family, we have music every Thursday. All six of our children go to music lessons. And some are in Baton Rouge, some are in Walker. We send them out and they go to an instructor who gives them information about music and helps them understand how to become better at what they're doing with music. Some of you in this church are involved in music programs yourself. You understand how music is taught. Some of my children come home after that music lesson and don't really care a whole lot about what they've learned. And they finish or do what they're supposed to do and really nothing more. Others enjoy music more and take what the instructors taught them, try to put that into practice every week, and try to get better at music. I have a question for you. Who is a disciple of that teacher? Who is truly learning from that teacher? And I think that's a rhetorical question. You know, the answer is the one who actually does it, right? Well, let me ask you a question. Who are the true followers of Jesus? Are you a true follower of Jesus? How do you know? Well, Jesus gives us a pretty good answer here, doesn't he? Jesus says here, everyone who is of the truth does what? Listens to my voice. So if Jesus has asked us to do something, those who are true followers of Jesus are going to listen, or the word there is be obedient to, obey his voice. A lot of people hear Jesus' voice. There are people who sit in churches every week who hear God's word read and preached to them. There are people in families who hear their grandmothers tell them the Bible all the time, or their dads tell them the Bible all the time. But that does not make you a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. He is very clear here that everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. There is a way to be in a garage and not be a car. Everyone who's of the truth listens to his voice. Let me give you some scripture. We're going to walk through another passage in John chapter 8 this morning. John chapter 8, Jesus' encounter with some folks who don't really like Jesus so much. John chapter 8, verse 39. If you're there with me, say amen. Amen. Then they answered him, Abraham is our father. So these are Jewish people. They are religious people. They go to church every week. They do everything, supposedly, that the Bible says to do, at least externally. And they say, Abraham is our father, and we're proud of it. Jesus said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would be what? Doing the works of Abraham. If you were truly a disciple of Abraham, Jesus is getting at, you would do what Abraham did. You can go to music lessons all you want, but if you don't practice the music, are you really a disciple of the one who's teaching? And Jesus is using the same argument against those who say Abraham is our father. He's saying Abraham believed God and was obedient to God and was humble before God. But you are making a mockery of that because you're using religion to make yourself look good rather than using it as an instrument to bring worship to God. You're using religion to get rather than religion to give. So church, look around. Look around this world today. Do you see people using religion to get? Are they true followers of Jesus Christ? Religious things are not bad in and of themselves. In fact, they're very good when they're used to give God glory. Church service, for instance, is a religious service. And it is a good thing when it is used to give God glory. If you were of Abraham's children, you would be doing the thing, the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me. A man who's told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. We talked about last week, Jesus revealed the truth. And we recall that John chapter 1 verse 14 says this, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Jesus came, dwelt among us, and gave us grace. And he gave us truth. And the perfect marriage therein. The perfect marriage. He wasn't overly gracious in that he just tolerated sin. He didn't pound people with the truth and not give them grace in order to receive it, but he married the two. And let's look at this passage. We see a people, Jesus telling them that they are they're seeking to do what to Jesus? Go back to verse 40, if you will, from John chapter 8. What are they trying to do to Jesus, who's giving them the truth? They're trying to kill him. They succeeded at that, didn't they? Here's something I want to point out to you. People who hate the truth are violent against it. People who hate the truth are violent against it. That is why you see such an offensive against Christians around the world. Last week we looked at people in Nigeria, thousands of Nigerian brothers mutilated for the sake of Christianity. Why? Because those who hate the truth are violent against the truth. You're seeing laws that are trying to be promoted by certain advocacy groups here in the States, trying to shut down Christianity. It's not enough to tolerate it. We've got to shut it down. That's what happens. People who hate the truth are violent against it. Do you know how many Christians have been killed because they say, "I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord"? Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people have been killed for saying Jesus is Lord. Because people hate them. Listen to what the Bible says, if you will. And this is the judgment, John chapter 3, verse 19. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. For whoever does what is true comes to the light, that it might be clearly seen, and that his works might be carried out in God. People pass laws to suppress the truth. People sue to prevent the truth. They hate the truth. Case in point, there was a man 2,000 years ago named Jesus. He's from a town called Nazareth. He came telling people the things of God. You know what they did to Jesus Christ from Nazareth? They spit on him. They plucked his beard out. They whipped him. They made fun of him. They mocked him. They did things that I won't even say to you in this mixed company. Anything they could to shut his mouth, they did. Why? Because people hate the truth. It is not natural to man to humble ourselves. And that's evident in you and I every day. Jesus Christ was hung on a tree because he preached a message of truth. Getting back to our passage in John chapter 8, Jesus tells them, "Hey, you're doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here." Jesus said what to them? If God were your Father, you would do what? You would love me, for I came from God and I'm here. If you are of God, you would love me. And so, while I've said earlier that the people who hate the truth are violent against it, I'll also say the children of God do what? They love the truth. And they love what Jesus said. Let me say it like this. Children of God do not merely tolerate the truth, but they love the truth. They love the truth. And there's a difference between tolerating the truth and love the truth. Some people go to church because they feel like they have to. Some people go to church because they want to. They love God and they are willing to be in a place where they can worship with their brothers and sisters. Some people tolerate Christianity. Others give their lives to Christianity. Some people say, "Okay, yeah, that could be true." Other people say, "I'll die because I know it's true." Children of God love the truth. Let me give you a passage of scripture to underscore this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9. Children of God love what? Children of God love what?
Truth.
Truth. If you don't believe me, listen to this. The Lord, this is, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders. In other words, Satan is going to bring lawless activity in this world, false signs, wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. Because Satan is going to be able to deceive and bring all sorts of false truths to people because. Because why, church? Tell me. Why is Satan able to deceive people? Because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Do you see it? Deception only works when you're willing to believe it. Those who refuse to love the truth and be saved because they love the truth are willing to believe the lie. If I came to you and I said, "Hey, Craig, I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona. I think you'd be a good investor." Y'all think Craig would take it? You think he'd invest his thousands of hard-earned dollars into my oceanfront property in Arizona? Why not? Because he knows what's true. What if I said, "Hey, Titus, I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona. Would you like to invest your dollar bills into it?" What would Titus say? He'd probably say, "Yeah, sounds great, Dad. Let's do it." But Craig knows the truth. And the truth keeps him from believing the lie that I'm telling him. Christians know what is true and they refuse to believe the lies that are promoted in our world today. There are many. There are many promoted within churches. It happens. There are many promoted on news channels. There are many promoted in the newspaper, on blogs. Hey, y'all know what? Not everything on Facebook is true. You heard it here. Those who love God love the truth. This is why Christians can worship at any time and anywhere. I know Dennis. Is Dennis here today? Where are you? Dennis, you love Discovery Channel. I know you watch that. You love science, love engineering. And I can imagine Dennis watching one of his shows, Planet Earth or something like that, seeing one of these animals and going, "Man." And we've had conversations, so I know it happens. It's amazing what God has made. That's worship. When you see what God has done, you go, "Oh, man, that's awesome. God, you've done that." Christians love what is true. When I'm running and listening to a sermon or reading through scripture, running, listening to it, and I hear something, there are times I just raise my hands, I'm running through the neighborhood, the neighbors are looking at me like, "You can't run with your hands in the air." Yes, you can. You can, right, Kelly? When you love the truth, when you love the Lord Jesus. Did you notice in that verse? Just let me, one more thing in that verse. Did you notice? Because they refuse to love the truth and what? Paul is telling us there something. That salvation is bound to what? To loving the truth. Not just the truth, but to loving the truth. Do you see what's going on? The lovers of the truth are the ones that are saved. And this ought to tell us something. Does Satan believe what's true? Does Satan believe the truth? Yes, he believes the truth. He knows the truth. Does he love the truth? No. No, he doesn't. So, Christian, here's an action point for you this morning. I believe there are too many people who tolerate the truth. Too many Christians that just tolerate the truth. And I believe more Christians need to love the truth, embrace it, have passion about the truth. And there's a difference. Many churchgoers live their lives in church only. Meaning they can affirm something that the preacher says. They can affirm something that they've read in the Bible. But when we get into our outside of church, we live as the world lives. Our entertainment is the same. Our time management is the same. The way we spend our money could be the same. The way we talk can be very much the same. I want to challenge and encourage you that as Christians, that is a doping mechanism, if you will. It's a sedative. And that the devil uses in order to water down people and their influence. That Christians have been called to love what is true. Love it to the place where we're willing to sacrifice for what is true and right. And put our lives on the line for what's true and right. And that's hard. It's not natural. Christians need to know more than just what Christianity is. I can give you another example. My wife knows how to run. That is a true statement. I love to run. Guess what my wife is not going to do tonight? She's not going to run. Guess what she's not going to do tomorrow night? Unless a bear shows up, she's not going to run. I might chase a bear. I chased a fox the other night. It's fun. I like to run. Enjoy it. There's a fox in my neighborhood. What's he doing in there? I live in a city. I love to run. That's what. Do you love Jesus? Christian, do you love Jesus? Man, as we're singing here this morning, we close, praise the Lord, and it was an echo, praise the Lord! Do we love Jesus? Do we express that in our gatherings together? If you were of your Father, you would love me, Jesus said, for I came from God, and I am here. If you were of your Father, you would love me. So Christian, love God. It's the greatest commandment after all, right? Love what is true. Let me give you another thought this morning. As we continue in verse 42. There it is. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? Why don't you understand me? You're not listening. I'm not speaking the same language. Why not? It is because you cannot what? Can't bear to hear my word. Not the bear that's chasing my wife, but you can't bear it. You can't tolerate it. You can't receive my word. Let me encourage you as a Christian. There are people in this world who cannot bear to hear the words of Jesus. There were in his day. There are in our day. So what do we do about that? There are people in this world who cannot tolerate hearing the word of God. What do we do? How do we, as Christians in this world? Well, first off, I'll give you my thoughts. I know you want to hear them, right? Nobody laughed. Y'all almost want to hear them. Here are my thoughts on this. One is we have to understand that only with an enlightenment from God can you comprehend and bear the truth. The natural state of man is opposed to who God is. And if there is no spiritual life in someone, they are not going to have a desire for spiritual things. Love Pilgrim's Progress. Read it again. In fact, we're going to watch it on Sunday night very soon in our church. We're going to watch the cartoon movie. It's really good. Hope you'll be a part of it. There are people that Christian meets throughout his journey. And throughout his journey, he meets them and they will not listen to what he says. And some of them act like, oh, okay, let's talk about that. And then when you get down to the truth, they turn away and say, I can't tolerate that. I can't receive that. It is because there is no spiritual life in order to receive spiritual things. And so how do we as Christians respond to that? I think we need to be respectful. And one thing our world, and you know it, is lacking today. Man, Washington, wherever you are, there's no respect for people that disagree. Let's be respectful and know that we need to respect people that don't disagree. However, respecting someone does not necessarily mean being silent, does it? And Jesus was not silent here. He very clearly said, if you were of my Father, you would love me, for I came from God and I'm here. Jesus was not silent. We need to be respectful, but we also need to understand that there might be things that the ungodly cannot receive and that Christians believe. For instance, or further, your Christian worldview allows you to see things and understand things that might, like we go back to, infuriate someone that's not a believer. But you, as a Bible believer, say, that dinosaur did not evolve. That takes a lot more denying of science than understanding that God created that. And as a Christian, you receive that and you can say, I believe God created that dinosaur that we found evidence of today. And you don't have to apologize for that. The hard part comes when it costs you something. And that is where Christians, the hard part is. Because I know that my boss now does not believe in God. So things that I say, are they offensive? Are they going to cost me things? Secondly, Jesus said, why do you not understand it? It's because you cannot bear to hear my words. My second thought on this is the children of God will bear witness to the truth because this is what Jesus did. And it's not something that we have to do alone. Jesus said in John 15 that the Spirit was going to come. And for instance, in the disciples' lives, he was going to give them the words to say and to write down. And now we have our Gospels. But when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me. And you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. The Spirit was there with the apostles in the day when they needed to bear witness in front of councils and in synagogues. And they did that. Why? Because they were children of God. And so it is, I believe, with us today. Christian, if there's nothing about God that hits our vocal cords when we leave this room, I think there might be a problem. I think we might need to examine ourselves and go, why am I not talking about it? I talked to a gentleman this morning who said, man, what did you think of the game Monday night? It was great, wasn't it? Yeah, it's great. Loved it. Why did he want to talk about that? because he loved his football team. How many Tiger fans do you know that haven't talked about the game Monday? Would you question their fandom if they didn't talk about the biggest game of the year? Wouldn't you? The children of God will bear witness to the truth. I'll close with this. As we're walking through worldview, as we're walking through how we interpret things, some of you are walking through paths right now. You're starting college, you're in college, a transition time in life when lots of worldviews are thrown at you, and some of your ideas are being challenged by other ideas that are out there. Your worldview is going to help you to filter out the things that you know to be lies and what you know to be true. And without an understanding of who God is, what the scripture teaches, and a set of beliefs, if you do not have that, you will be bombarded. Some of you are at different phases in life. Some of you are in high school trying to figure some of these things out. Some of you are in your 50s trying to figure some of these things out. Some of you have been inundated by worldly influences for so many years that your Christian worldview looks more like a conservative or a liberal mindset, because that's what you've heard so much of. Or some of you are so filled with your friends and your family or the way that Plaquemine works that your worldview is infiltrated more with South Louisiana than it is with Christian faith. These are things that we, throughout this year, I'm challenging and calling to you as Christians who are filtering everything that happens, like your eyeballs see everything that happens. We're filtering everything that we might need to examine our filter. And we might need to say, is this built on what the scripture teaches, or is this built on South Louisiana? And that is our challenge for the year. If your worldview is not based on what the scripture teaches, you might be wondering, how do I get there? And I want to share with you the first step in getting there is humbling yourself before God, repenting of your sin, and believing that Jesus Christ is Lord. But more than that, is loving that truth. And being willing to abandon whatever else is holding you back from giving yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you love Jesus, you give yourself to Him. It is like a marriage. We give ourselves to Him. So that is the beginning of your Christian worldview. And my hope and prayer is that you will do that today if you are not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you are, it's beginning to examine. All right, now what? What do I do? How do I shape myself after what the Lord would have me do? That is a worldview. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our Father, we have seen your word this morning. We've heard your words. Lord, as we shape our minds and shape our eyes, our spiritual eyes to things, awaken us, Lord, so that we know how to distinguish the truth from a lie. Lord, without your help, it's impossible for us to know you. Help us. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.